Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
You may have noticed this spring was dry and hot. That meant dedicated gardeners were checking the forecast for the next rainfall and watering a lot. But you could make regular and precise watering easier with a little more upfront work. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and the curator of the Fell Arboretum. Murph, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Mike.
There are different brands, different types. There's direct drip, sprinklers. I was just at a big box store the other day and was looking sort of in awe at a shelf full of all kinds of irrigation, home do-it-yourself irrigation kits, and there's all kinds of information. There are different varieties. You have to pay attention to the gallons per hour for the plant, whether you want a sprinkler or drip, as I mentioned. I didn't even know where to start. So where do you start?
Well, let's start by saying that we're not going to use this DIY system to water our lawns. This is primarily for ground level planting beds, hanging baskets, containerized gardens that are either on the ground or on a back porch or a balcony. And regardless of the one that you choose, they are all powered by a hose bib or a silcock that's on the outside of a home or a small business.
So you don't need a plumber necessarily.
You don't need a plumber, and you don't even really need a toolbox. For the majority of this equipment, the tubing is like around a half-inch flexible plastic tubing, and you make the cuts on the tubing with a pair of household scissors or a really not a sharp pocket knife or something like that. There is a brand out of all of them that's my favorite, and I've been using it for over 20 years, and that's Mr. Landscaper, and I think it was one of the first. And the reason, Mike, that I love it is because their hardware, the elbows, the tees, the splitters, all that stuff, it's a friction lock. So you could just have a damp rag or do the old-fashioned grandpa trick and spit on one end of it, and then you twist and push, and that locks the bushing onto the plastic tube. And after that is done, you're finished as far as connecting your elbows and tees and things like that.
Is the amount of water each plant or recommendations for the amount of water that gets dropped on a plant in the instructions in these kits?
It's not. And you'll be hard-pressed to find a specific reference that'll tell you plant A needs this much water.
Because the irrigation kits will say, well, this will drop this much water in this amount of time.
Yes.
So how do you know what to do there?
Well, that has some influence on why I have a favorite. And the Mr. Landscaper heads, the emitters, all different kinds, whether it's a drencher, you know, that just kind of bubbles water, or they have a general purpose head, which is a great one that's on a little soil spike. It's righty-tighty, lefty-loosey, so you can increase or decrease the amount of water at the emitter without having to do any kind of strange plumbing back between the pot and the source.
Or by a different emitter.
Or
all the emitters are adjustable on this particular brand.
They are.
So if it looks like it's getting too much water, you can back it off. If it's not getting enough water, you can increase the amount of water with this particular brand.
Correct, Mike.
So is there a minimum water pressure you need to have coming out of the house before this would work? Is that something you need to get tested, or is that...
I don't think so. And the reason I don't believe that's the case is because the system that I like, the Mr. Landscaper kits, they are self-sealed and self-draining. So when a little bit of pressure builds up in the line, it seals the connection where the little feeder lines branch off from the main half-inch tube line. And then on the other side of that coin, when the system is done, all of the water runs out of it through that fitting that is no longer watertight because there's no pressure. And I'm very confident that they'll work with meager pressure because I've seen many places where there were two hose bibs running at the same time, one in the front of the house, for example, and one in the back. And it might take longer, and that's something that you might frankly want to avoid, is, you know, have one system run while the other one is sitting still if you had that scenario. If there's enough water pressure for it to eject water from a garden hose, there's ample water for the ample pressure to fill the tubing.
And what's the goal here? Making sure the plants get adequate water, a water saving so you're not overwatering, maybe time for the gardener,
yes,
time savings?
Yes, and yes. And definitely on the water savings thing, because it'd be really easy to set this system up and walk away from it without making any adjustments. So at the last step, I would think, and for anyone setting this system up, is to make sure that the emitters are set correctly. So let's talk about the emitters for a second. Some of the emitters spray a pattern that's like a 360-degree, like, fine spray. Not a mist, but a fine spray with small droplets. Then there are other emitters that shoot the water out in a rectangular pattern left and right of the head. So if you had a trough-style planter, you could water it with one head. And then there are other ones that emit a very fine mist, similar to what you see in Arizona or Texas in outdoor air conditioning, that fine of a mist. Even if you choose the different heads for different size pots and different size spaces in your ground plots, you still have the privilege of reducing the output or maxing it out. And that's something that might change during the year also as the plants grow in and there's more foliage, you need more water. And early on when you're just getting started and you're getting the help of cool nights and a rainy season, you could dial it back.
So at the spigot, I would imagine that's where the whole system gets its water from. You could have a splitter at the spigot so you could still get water off of that. On the other side, a timer that would be hooked to that maybe?
That's right. Melnor, Rainbird, and some other commercial landscapers like Toro and John Deere Landscapes, all of these companies make what's called a automated valve timer. And it's about the size of a hardball or a baseball, and it screws right onto the silk hock or the hose bib. And then you might need an anti-siphon piece to prevent any water from going in. And then your tubing and your connections, they usually run off either two A or AA batteries or one 9-volt battery. And the water would remain on, and the water would be turned on and off with the automated valve timer.
So on at the spigot, but the,
yes,
the timer actually controls whether the system is getting its water or not.
Exactly, yes.
And you said no turf. Why aren't we watering turf? I know it takes a lot of water.
Yeah, watering turf is something that these systems are just not equipped for. They don't hold the volume of water. They don't relocate the water adequately. And this is a system that consists of basically black plastic tubing and black surgical tubing. So that would kind of get in the way if it was resting on the ground. Mm-hmm. So, and it's too small of a tube and such to be buried in the earth because it would fill with soil particles and clog quickly.
As with just about anything in the garden, there is some maintenance involved, especially before the first freeze, I would guess.
Yeah, you would want to, you don't need to remove this stuff or put it away in the winter. You just need to disconnect it from the water. And it drains empty when it's not on, so when that valve timer shuts off.
You don't need to blow it out with an air compressor or anything.
No, it just drains empty, so you're not wasting any of that water. It's going into the landscaping. So I think that the maintenance would be more during the growing season. So you're gonna have a level of output during the spring, increase during the summer, and maybe back off during the fall. And then another caveat on the valve timers, Mike, is you could program it for multiple waterings during the day. So if you wanted to do your primary watering when you're having coffee and getting ready for work in the morning, you could have it come on real briefly to kind of knock the heat down sometime during the high sun hours.
Okay, if you have any questions about irrigation or anything in the garden, you can submit them at wglt.org/grow. Patrick Murphy with ISU's School of Biological Sciences will give a pretty good shot at answering your questions.
We'd love to get those questions.
Next week, we'll talk about living outside. And before we can do that, we need furniture and outdoor decor. I'm guessing we'll talk about durability.
We need to talk about that.
Okay, that's Patrick Murphy. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.